Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Bert. I'm the lead pastor at True North Community Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. I'm going to have a little something to say to you at the end, but for now, let's dive in.
All right. Good morning, everyone. All right. A hearty good morning. Welcome to our church. We're so glad to have you here today. My name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors here. And as always, it is a great honor to have an opportunity to share a message with you. So today, we're going to be talking a little bit about what it means to be grateful. This has been on my mind and on my heart a lot lately. Some of it is coming out of a book that I read recently titled Life of the Beloved by Henry Nouwen. It's been really influential for me. And so I wanted to share that with you today, a little bit about what's going on in my own heart and own life. But before I do that, in order to better understand what it means to be grateful, I would like to provide an illustration to you, a story that happened to me. But in order for us to do that, I'm going to have to take you way back to the summer of August 2017. That's where we begin. Okay, so what happened to me was I was officiating a wedding in Long Island City, beautiful wedding on a rooftop. It was amazing. My wife was with me. We're having a great time, and we decided to make an evening of it. We got a sitter. So we had the ceremony. Then we hopped in the car. We decided we're gonna just have a ball in Brooklyn. We're going to go to a bunch of different places, eat, have a good time. So I'm driving from Queens to Brooklyn. I get over on this overpass, and there are two cars in front of me, and I don't really like the way they're driving. They're going a little too slow, and out of nowhere, the car in my lane brakes really hard, and I have to cut the wheel left and right to get around them because they braked way too hard. It was what I would consider an evasive maneuver, okay? Defensive driving. As I get to the end of the overpass, there's an NYPD traffic cop right there at the end, and he saw me do this, and he did not like it. So he turns his lights and sirens on. He's right behind me. Have you ever tried to pull over in Brooklyn before? Literally impossible, okay? Cars are lining the streets. It's ridiculous. So this has never happened to me before. In addition to the lights and sirens, he actually got on the loudspeaker and went, pull over right now. It's like, great. I'm just batting 1,000, right? So I'm no choice. I literally stop on a side street in the middle of the road because I didn't have anywhere else to go. I roll down the windows, I cut the engine, I want to let them know everything's going to be okay. I should also add that sometimes when I'm giving messages, I notice some of my examples are often run-ins with law enforcement. I don't know why that happens to me. I should say two things. One, I'm not a scofflaw, okay? I try to obey the laws as best I can. And secondly, I have the utmost respect for people who are in law enforcement, so please don't take that personally. But this happened to me. So I'm pulled over. He walks up, and what I love about the highway guys, they have the boots up to here, the really cool boots, right? This guy's like a cowboy. He gets out of the car, he's kind of bow-legged, and he just kind of saunters up to the front of the car. I see him in the rear view, and he means business. This guy, if anyone has ever looked like Yul Brynner, but a cop, this is very intimidating. He's got the aviators on, right? So he saunters up to the door. He looks over me, license, registration. I hand him my stuff, I hand him my license, hand him the registration, hand him my good friend's NYPD PBA card, which I had with me. Okay, just trying to be a good citizen here. He looks at the card and turns it over, and I realize that it's my wife's card, not mine. And he goes, is this your name? And I'm like, well, no, that's her name. He goes, doesn't apply. And he threw it across the dash, and I was like, whoa, all right, I clearly have upset this man. So he issues me a ticket for speeding because I had to pull around that car. I accelerated a little bit, maybe a little bit too much. However, the ticket in which he wrote me, bear with me for a moment here. He said that I was speeding. Now, if you are anywhere from 1 mile per hour to 10 miles per hour over the speed limit, it is a $268 fine. If you are 11 miles per hour to 30 miles per hour over the speed limit, it is exponentially higher. He marked me going 11 miles per hour over the speed limit. I was like, bro, you couldn't even exaggerate it more. You had to give me the 11 miles per hour, right? Now look, I wasn't 100% sure, but I was fairly confident that although I may have been speeding going above 25 miles per hour, because it was a work zone on a Saturday, because apparently those exist, 25 miles per hour, I'm like, you know what? This kind of bums me out a little bit. So we're at dinner. I'm talking to my wife. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, no. I'm like, I think I kind of want to fight this a little bit, or at least just make my case in court. I'm not looking to get scot-free, but maybe I just want to be able to say something. So I schedule a court date. The first court date they give me is a month after the initial infraction. Of course, I'm traveling that day, right? So I get online, and you can reschedule a court date. So I reschedule it. And when I reschedule it, they give me July of 2018. Okay, so that's way far. I'm like, I got a year to think about this. This is fantastic. I don't have to worry about this for an entire year. As we get closer to July of 2018, I realize that I'm actually going to be traveling for school that week. So I can't get out. I literally can't miss that trip. So I get back on. I make a request to reschedule the court date. And they reschedule me for spring of 2019. I'm like, fantastic. I have more months. I'm just putting this thing off. I don't have to worry about it, okay? As we approach spring of 2019, I get a letter from them saying that that date isn't going to work for them. And they reschedule me for spring of 2020. So now we're in the future. I'm like, how long can I milk this thing? I'm going to be an old man by the time I go to court, right? And finally, in July, I am presented with the gift of all gifts. I receive this letter. Mr. Summers, the ticket shown below has been dismissed. No further action is required from you on this charge. Please keep this notice for your records. Boom. Oh. That felt real good. That felt real good. I was very happy about that. I was feeling all sorts of emotions. I didn't even know what to feel. The only thing I knew for sure is that I was grateful. I didn't know who I was grateful to. Maybe it was a clerical error. Maybe somebody messed up. I think it was divine intervention. Can't be sure. But I knew that I was grateful. Now, maybe you've had an event or a time in your life or something happened to you that made you enormously grateful or pleased about something. Maybe it was a bit of good fortune or a blessing. Or maybe you've met someone who lives their life rooted in kindness and appreciation. It's refreshing. It's inspiring to have that type of mindset. Around the time of Thanksgiving and leading into Christmas, there's something about the change in weather here in New York. It's almost like you can smell the change of season. And coming into this next season of life, just personally, I've been thinking a lot about what I'm grateful for in my own life, as I'm sure many of you have. So we're going to talk a little bit about gratitude today, but I want to be clear that I'm not giving you a motivational lecture on morality. That's not the point of this. This is not the power of positive thinking. I want to invite us into a reprogramming of our worldview, of how we see the world around us, because I believe how we understand gratitude helps shape our lives physically, emotionally, and even spiritually. The life and example of Jesus, when I look at his life throughout history, it has provided, it has been a source of inspiration and wisdom for people with faith and even people without faith. But what I find particularly interesting are two things. One, Jesus lived a life of gratitude in prayer and contemplation and practice, grateful for the smallest opportunities. And when he teaches his disciples to pray, when what we now call today the Lord's Prayer is an entirely a declaration of thankfulness and gratitude. That's the first thing I noticed. Jesus lived a life of gratitude. The second thing I notice, and I find interesting, is that Jesus was not often thanked. Of the thousands of people that he interacted with, to which he gave his time and his care and his attention to, very few instances are recorded of people actually thanking him. Many benefited from his teaching and from his wisdom, but few gave him praise for it. There's even an instance where he is traveling through a village, and as he's traveling through this village, he's approached by 10 men who have been stricken with leprosy. This is a first century disease. It causes skin lesions, nerve damage. It's contagious. It's a bad thing to have. In the ancient world, if you contracted this disease, it was believed that you were unclean, and therefore you were unable to practice your faith. You could not be around your family. You could not work. Lepers were often confined to colonies where they would essentially go to die. Isolated from society. It was a terrible disease. But Jesus tells these men to go and show themselves to a priest because only a priest could have you declared clean. And miraculously, when they do this, they are healed. The skin lesions disappear. Of the 10 men that were healed, of the 10 men who could now go back to their families, of the 10 men who could now work again, of the 10 men who are now free to practice their faith, only one returns back to Jesus to say, thanks. But what I see here is, and this is interesting, Jesus responds kindly, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. If I were Jesus in that scenario, I don't know if I'd handle that so well. If I was the provider and I just drastically altered your quality of life, I think I'd want someone to say thanks. But what we see here is that Jesus' love for those in need is not limited or conditional. So how do we get to a place where we are thankful for the things that we already have and we're still able to give to those in need without expectation? I believe it's through a gratitude adjustment. And I think that there's three primary ways that gratitude affects us, which is what I want to share with you today. Number one, gratitude affects attitude. Gratitude affects our attitude. And I think many of us know this already. We understand at an elementary level what that means, but it's easier said than done, especially when times are tough. If you're in debt, if you are out of work, if you or your loved ones are sick, this is a hard mindset to have. If you feel trapped by life, it's a lot easier to complain and rationalize everything that's going wrong instead of what's going right. And I think it's okay to feel that way from time to time. I think when life hits you with something hard, it's understandable that you're going to feel that way. But more importantly, it's important to know we cannot live there forever. Otherwise, you might end up damaging something inside of yourself permanently. We might start looking to the lives of others and the conditions of others. And we may start to feel like they don't deserve what they have, meanwhile overlooking all of the things that we already have. Grateful people are rarely jealous, and jealous people are rarely grateful. When we begin to have gratitude for the things that are going right, it's a lot easier to handle what's going wrong. In the days of the early church, Paul, as a follower of Jesus, he writes to these believers in Colossae, okay, reminding them that their baptism as believers, their new conversion as Christians, they were no longer bound to human conditions, that their interests and identities were to be entirely different from the world around them. So I'm going to share a scripture with you, an excerpt from this letter, Colossians 3, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, and I'm sharing it to you in a modern translation because I think it unpacks it very nicely. Let's listen to this. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you, and regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master, Jesus, thanking God for every step of the way. Gratitude affects attitude. And when this begins to happen, we move from being resentful to being compassionate. You become a loving person because you already know that you are loved. So that's the first way gratitude affects us. Gratitude affects our attitude. And the second way that I believe that gratitude affects us is gratitude affects our aptitude. Gratitude affects our aptitude. Aptitude, for our purposes today, I want to define it for you. Our inclination or ability to learn and understand. Our inclination or ability to learn or understand. And as I was researching this subject, I came across a statement from a pastor in New York City, Pastor Tim Keller, and he made a statement in the New York Times around the time of Thanksgiving last year. He was interviewed, and I think this is really good. Listen to this. Ingratitude is a fundamental rather than superficial sin. It is part and parcel of pride and self-centeredness, a deep denial of how dependent we are on God and one another. If we aren't thankful, it's because we don't think we owe anyone anything. An ungrateful mind processes what is not happening as what will never happen. But a grateful mind processes what has happened into what can happen. This author that I'm reading, Henry Nouwen, he once wrote, "The world is only evil if you become a slave to it." The world is only evil if you become a slave to it. How many of you know we can be caught up in the busyness of our life and entirely miss out on beautiful, small moments. I believe that in those moments, if we're aware enough, we begin to sense a stirring in our souls. Once again, the words of the Apostle Paul, this time to followers in Rome, a church in Rome, a letter that he wrote, excerpt of the letter, Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their mind became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Humanity's problem is not an inability to know God, but an unwillingness to know God. Humanity's problem is not an inability to know God, but an unwillingness to know God. If we are too busy to stop and be grateful for the things we have in our life, we might start to believe that every good and perfect thing comes from us. And as a result, we lose the ability and the awareness of how the Spirit is moving in our lives in those beautiful, small moments. We lose not only our capacity to hear God, but our capability of knowing him, thereby stunting the growth of our own souls. If we are to understand people, if we hope to make a difference, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others, we need to shift our thinking into a grateful mindset. And by doing so, we move into a deeper understanding of God, ourselves, and others. We set aside suspicion for the sureness of who God is and what he has done for us. This is how gratitude affects our aptitude, our understanding. So, gratitude affects our attitude. Gratitude affects our aptitude. Lastly, the third and final way I think gratitude affects us, gratitude affects our latitude. Gratitude affects our latitude or our direction. Have you ever wondered where you were headed in life? What your trajectory was? I don't mean academically, I don't mean personally, I mean spiritually. There are many things that exist in my own life that can distract me from the person that I believe I'm called to be. And I believe the same is true for you. I'm going to read you one last quote from this author, Henry Nouwen, and listen to this. As long as you live in the world, yielding to its enormous pressures to prove yourself and to others that you are somebody, and knowing from the beginning that you will lose in the end, your life can scarcely be more than a long struggle for survival. If, however, you really want to live in the world, you cannot look to the world itself as the source of that life. The world and its strategies may help you survive for a long time, but they cannot help you live because the world is not even the source of its own life, let alone yours. Spiritually, you do not belong in this world, and that is precisely why you are sent into this world. Spiritually, we do not fit neatly into this world, and maybe that's exactly why we're here. I made a statement earlier about those who live lives rooted in kindness and compassion, and how inspiring that is, how it has an effect on us. The people who do this, they're no longer concerned or consumed with the patterns of the world around them. They've become something else, entirely different. Their direction in life isn't determined by their career or even their own passions. They begin by being grateful, and they allow that to determine the direction in their life. The last scripture reading I have for us today comes from a letter to the Hebrews. Hebrews is one of my favorite books in the Bible. And this letter specifically is addressed to those who already have a religious background. But the author wants them to challenge some of those presuppositions that exist. So this is Hebrews chapter 13, verses 13 through 16. And again, I have selected a modern translation because I think it says it in a way that's kind of special. Listen to this. So let's go outside where Jesus is, where the action is. Not trying to be privileged insiders, but taking our share in the abuse of Jesus. This insider world is not our home. We have our eyes peeled for the city about to come. Let's take our place outside with Jesus, no longer pouring out the sacrificial blood of animals, but pouring out sacrificial praises from our lips to God in Jesus' name. Make sure you don't take things for granted and go slack in working for the common good. Share what you have with others. God takes particular pleasure in acts of worship, a different kind of sacrifice that takes place in the kitchen and in the workplace and on the streets. What the author of this letter is getting at is that when we begin to live lives rooted in gratitude, our direction is reorientated away from the things that this world or even religion says matters and towards things that are closer to the heart of God. Yes, it is a sacrifice. Yes, people might not understand. Yes, you might even be judged for living this way. But these are the things that please God: to be grateful, to work for the common good, and to live life on a greater purpose and greater mission. And once we begin to do this, we can now walk alongside those who are struggling to help their direction in life, giving to them without expecting anything in return. So the three ways gratitude affects us: our attitude, our aptitude, and our latitude. So what do we do with this? My challenge to you today: ask yourself, what are you grateful for? What are you grateful for? Will you allow that to deepen your understanding of the divine? Will you allow what you are grateful for to deepen your understanding of the divine? And lastly, where is God leading you to make a difference? Where is God leading you to make a difference? And look, if life has you down right now, I want to encourage you with this. No one is immune to the hardships of life, the things that go on in our lives. But by living a life of gratitude, we are better able to endure the joy and the suffering as part of our own spiritual formation. So, as we move into this next season together, let us be grateful for the things we have, mindful of how God is working in our lives, and allowing that to determine our direction. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful for the direction that you have given us. And for those of us, God, who feel caught, we feel like we're in a place where we don't understand gratitude, or we don't understand how to be grateful, especially if life is beating us up right now. I pray for every person here, Lord, that you would reveal to them by your Spirit what it means to be grateful and thankful for the things in our lives. I pray that you will motivate us to grow. I pray that we would have a shift in our attitude. I pray that we would have a greater understanding of who you are and what you have done for us. And I pray that through this, you can help determine our direction. Who needs us to make a difference in their life, Lord? Reveal that to us. Help us to know and trust you through every step of the way. And for those, God, who are asking, I pray for a deepening relationship with your Holy Spirit in ways that they never expected or anticipated. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Hey, thanks once again for taking the time to listen. It's an honor to have you with us. If you'd like to support our church financially and help us continue to put this content out there for free, that would be a really big deal to us. We're completely supported by the contributions of the people that come to our church. And if you'd like to help, you can do that online at truenorthchurch.net/give, or you can do it with a text message. Just text the word True North to 77977 on your cell phone, and you'll get a prompt leading you through how to do that. Thanks again for dialing in. See you soon. Bye-bye.